Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the time that we have together and the subject that you have brought to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that your words would come out of us, lead us to spur thoughts, to understand your wisdom, and for us to be able to learn how to grow. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Welcome back. I'm glad everyone is here. It's good to see you, Laura and Kevin. And I'm glad that we have our listeners and our viewers. Today, we're going to tackle a subject that everyone deals with, and it's about what has control over us and what is competing for our lives. So I want to pass this on to Laura and have her go into a little bit more on what we're going to talk about.
Well, the three of us, and it's good to see you too, Joseph.
Thanks. Yes.
And Kevin. The three of us are mindful that there's some things that need to sober us, you know, in this life. Kevin's going to talk about one important aspect. But we were talking about, you know, that there's such a distraction in the world that if we're not careful, it will draw us away from the most important thing, and that is intimacy with God. Now, I know that the listener knows this. I know that we know this, but some truths are so important. We got to keep saying it again and again. Why? Because we are like salmon swimming upstream, right? The whole world, you would say, the whole fallen world is going downstream in a mad rush. And those of us that have a heart for the Lord, we literally are like those salmon swimming upstream in a downstream world. And, you know, one of the thoughts that, you know, came to me this morning was for me to be mindful of what is distracting me. Now, of course, some of the common are our devices. And the reason this came to me is because as I was getting ready to go on a beautiful walk today, I was tempted to do what I often do, which is put in my ear pods and listen to a podcast. Is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. But I made the decision, right, to not do that. Like I can actually just be open to what's happening around me. I can actually just commune with the Holy Spirit. I can actually just look at my day talking to the Lord. Now, was I doing that throughout the morning? Yes. But see, here was another opportunity to continue that conversation. And not that it's wrong to have a podcast to listen to, but when it becomes the norm, and for me, if I'm not careful, because I'm a lifelong learner, I might compartmentalize my life too much where this time, you know, in the morning is for God. And this, you know, the rest of this afternoon is about learning and listening, you know, to these podcasts and studying these books. And it was just a sobering thought to me, which is the enemy loves to distract us. I will use it this way. The enemy loves to seduce us. Yeah. And so some of the things we're going to talk about today, listener, is what is seducing you? Is false religion seducing you? Are your devices seducing you? Are the cares of the world seducing you? And seducing you away from what? From intimacy with God. So what do you think about what I said, Kevin?
I think it's spot on. I mean, I would say unequivocally, 100% of the people that I counsel are having intimacy problems with God. Mm-hmm. And so whether they have a relationship with God or not, or are living that, they still have intimacy problems with God. And so there's a myriad of problems. It comes out, it comes out as them being confused about their sexuality, or a lot of couples that I counsel, they say that they're a Christian. I don't question it, but they will put their sexual lives above God. They will have sexual relationships with people or even one person, when they know good and well in their heart that God says, don't do that before marriage. But they put themselves first. They put their sexuality first. And that cuts their or diminishes their relationship with the Lord. You know, God says in Isaiah 59, is my ear deaf? Are my eyes blind? And because people claim, God, you don't hear my prayers. You're not looking at what I need. And God says, hey, it's not that. I made everything. Your sins are separating you from me. So people who are having these sexual relationships because they're putting their own sexuality above what God treasures are wondering why God's not answering them, or wondering why they're not closer to God or have more of that spiritual feeling. You know, relationships, whether it is with our spouses or our children. Some people worship their children. Some people, church busyness. And I'm just going to cite a few, and then we can talk about whichever one God leads us to. Our careers. Our careers can replace intimacy with God. We can work ourselves to death. Our mental health. Us believing secular psychiatry and them that explaining our problems rather than the Word of God and God's wisdom and people who have lived before us and know better. We sometimes secular psychiatry can remove us from intimacy with God. Cares of this life, as we all mentioned, politics can do that. Materialism can do that. Hidden agendas, selfishness can remove us from the intimacy of God. Entertainment, whether it's sports or travel or partying or, you know, restaurants or whatever, can keep us from that. And of course, you mentioned false religion, our own concept of religion. And what I've experienced this last week was I had the honor of doing a funeral, but I sat with the family for 3 or 4 days. And I usually don't spend that much time, but they were pretty much family. We were that close to them. And so I listened to all the stories. And so death can even separate us from, or that fear of death can separate us from God's intimacy with God. Some people, if they perceive punishment and having hard times and trials as God not caring, or, you know, a death of my family, if God really cares, why did my mama die? Mm-hmm. And so death is a natural part of our experience because of what had happened to Adam and Eve. They were fooled. And so death came as a penalty, and Christ came to pay that debt. But yet that fear of death prevents us from living. That fear of death sometimes can become that which separates us from God, because we don't fully understand it and grasp it, why it's a part of even the salvation story. And when we start our salvation story, when we accept Christ as our Savior, then we're immediately introduced to the death story, that something called death through our Savior had to pay the price to give us life.
Amen.
And so even that fear of death can separate us from God's intimacy. And almost like from a westernized standpoint, oh, no, I don't want to consider that. I want to have the good times. Let the good times roll.
We do live in a time where we do have everything. And yet, we're miserable.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look back 200 years, there were people that were barely living life, yet they lived life. We have the modern amenities. We have things that are helping our life every day. Yet we're talking to people who are miserable, they're sad, they're depressed, they're lonely. And so what is competing for us? What is competing for us? What's competing for our relationship with God? What's competing for our mental, emotional, and spiritual health? The things that we prioritize can sometimes lead us somewhere where we feel lonely, we feel sad, we feel empty, and so we have to find meaning. We weren't put on this earth just to live and then die, right? That's not a good existence. We know as spiritual beings, as Christians, that we are called to bigger things.
Yes.
And so when we talk to people, it's important to listen, number one, but when we do listen, they may tell us more about what's going on than they're leading on. And the thing about having sober thoughts about this and seeing people hurting is that this has been a constant thing since the beginning of time. This isn't something new. You know, people think, oh, mental health, we're more focused on mental health than ever before. It's like, yes, but it's been the same way throughout all of human history. It's just now it's almost like we have too much information. One of the things that came to mind while you guys were speaking was that, you know, God gave us the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 2, 3, and 4, actually, and 5. 2 through 6. The thing that's interesting about competition is that God knew that we were going to be competing. He was going to be competing with whatever was in our lives. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. How many of us feel like slaves now? Right? Mm-hmm. How many have things in our lives that are ruling over us, whether it's our job, whether it's our debt, and all those things, the worries of this world? He said, the first thing he says is, you shall have no other gods before me. What are we placing in his spot in our lives? What are the things that we place as a priority in front of God? He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image of any form of anything in heaven or above earth or beneath or in the water below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love and keep my commands, keep my commandments. You know, we look at that and go, oh, he's an angry God. He's a jealous God. He's somebody that I can't be a part of because I don't like that. No, he's trying to prevent you from actually hurting yourself. He's trying to help you to prioritize, to realign your thoughts. And so when we sober our thoughts, we have to say, what is it aligned to? Is it aligned to God's word, or is it aligned to the whims of this world and the feelings that I have? Because I can tell you from day to day, my feelings change. I've lived long enough to see in the world that things change. And so if we are not aligned with God, we're going to be tossed to the left, to the right, in all different directions, and we're going to feel like our life is out of control.
Because it will be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We'll feel that way because it'll be the reality. Well, my heart is with you, you know, Kevin, because those of us that have stood in that place of looking into the grave, you know, it's so, to use the word that we've been reflecting on, it's sobering because all of us understand that at some point we are going to die. And like you alluded to, Joseph, often we don't want to think about it. But, you know, it is good for us to think about it occasionally, you know, occasionally to do an inventory, right? If it wasn't something the Lord didn't want us to think about, he wouldn't have, number one, given us insight into the fact that there is death. Number two, to be ready for death. And so, you know, encouragement now wants to say to you, the listener, is there's many ways to be prepared for death. First and foremost is spiritually. Back to the way we started this conversation is the enemy of your soul would love to give you false shepherds. That's one thing that God hated. Still hates it, by the way. False shepherds. Why? because false shepherds take the sheep and lead them astray. And lead them astray, not just to keep them out of the safe pasture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, but for the day of destruction, right? So when we think about death, we think about, am I ready spiritually? Am I walking in the truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. You know, there's a lot of false shepherds out there that are either deceive themselves or they are being deceitful. Are you ready financially to die? You know, is your family prepared? You know, how terrible to think that there are some, the breadwinners of the family that have not taken out inexpensive life insurance to make sure that their family will be okay. Why? Because somebody said, well, I don't want to think about it. Well, you need to think about it. Or it says, well, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. Your family can't afford for you not to. And term insurance, you know, I don't recommend whole life. Term life insurance is the way to go. Very inexpensive, especially when you consider what you are protecting and providing, right? Are you ready relationally, whether for yourself to die or somebody else to die that you wish you would have made amends with before they passed, or that you haven't made amends with, and you know that it will be a terrible burden for the people left behind. So there's lots of ways to look at death. And then one thing, you know, I want to say about this gentleman is I shared it with the both of you is that, and I want to share it with the listener, is it's sobering for us to sit with the Lord occasionally and say, if I were to find out that tomorrow I was going to die, for sure, is there anything I would regret or I would feel like I had left undone? And the great news is if you have a feeling like you left it undone, well, then you have time right now, because more than likely you're not going to die tomorrow. But again, too, tomorrow's not promised. So we want to live very sober-minded that whatever I feel I would regret or an amend I did not make, today is the day. Amen. The Lord's mercies are new every day. So this conversation, listener, is for the three of us as much as it is for you.
Mm-hmm. I would point our audience to Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, where Christ says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn from me, you know, and he talks about being gentle and humble and so on and having that spirit of meekness. And so that is a invitation for intimacy, because we can achieve that rest no matter how tumultuous our life is by being close to God. So how do we do that? Well, for one, we have to be in love with the Word of God. We have to see it as being more than a historical document or a way to prove someone wrong or a way to prove a minister wrong or whatever, or not being applicable for our lives, or some archaic book that, man, this is modern times. We have to fall in love with the Word of God. We have to grow to understand its significance and its authority in our lives. And we have to feed on the Word of God, our attitudes, our actions, our words, our everything, our relationship with our spouses, the way we rear our children, the way we are workers at work. Everything has to be decorated and founded by the Word of God, or we will not have that intimacy with God. It's the way God teaches us who He is and how He looks at things. And so we have to maintain intimacy with God and take Christ up on His invitation to take on His rest through the Word of God, through taking walks, as Laura took a walk this morning and spent time with talking with God and smoking things over with Him and so on. We have to spend that time. If we're not spending time with our spouses and our children in conversation, boy, all kinds of havoc's going to come in. Confusion, superstitions, we're going to assign false motives, or we're going to be ill, or we're going to be any number of things. We're not going to have the insulation and the ability to fend off those bad attitudes. And so if we're not spending time with God and talking to Him about things, it doesn't have to be some sanctimonious religious crap. It's a conversation with our Father, with the master of our lives, who wants all good things for us. And through his word, we are not going to maintain that intimacy. So if you're falling away from God's word, if you don't remember the last time you looked at it and applied it to your life and opened the book, I know a lot of our audience probably does that on their mobile devices. I'd like opening the physical Bible because I still like something tangible and visual before me. That's just, maybe you can call us old fashioned, but get into the Word of God. If you feel like you're not close to Him, if you don't have that peace in your life and something is very missing, open the Word of God and develop a reading style for your life every day and talk to Him every day. Doesn't have to be religious mumbo. It can be a in your rocking chair on your front porch, or in your study, and you're drinking a cup of coffee in your living room and talking to God about things. He wants you. He invites you for the intimacy. He longs to be intimate with us.
The Word of God will correct us. Mm-hmm. It will correct our thoughts, our actions. If we say, oh, God doesn't love me. No, Psalms 139 says, or God doesn't love me. He doesn't know me. No, Psalms 139 says the opposite. It's going to correct our thoughts. If we're not reading the Word of God, we're not going to be corrected. We're not going to know which way to go. We're going to go in every direction this world has for us. But a lot of people are afraid that if they read the Word of God, that they're going to get corrected. And mm-hmm. Yeah, they're afraid of correction, but in reality, the correction is there to help us. It gives us peace. We know that this world is going to tell us everything and everything's okay until we do something that's not. And then the world will correct us. We're more afraid of God's correction than we are the world's. I would hope that God's correction would be the best because it's actually done in love. And so, you know, one of the things that you, Laura, said about, you know, am I prepared to die? You know, I had somebody walk up to me and ask me that. He goes, are you prepared to die? And I said, yes, every day. Every day. And he looked in my eyes and, you know, he's like wondering if my eyes are going to go to the left or right or anywhere else. He goes, I can see you're telling the truth. And we have to think about that. That's being sober, right? That's taking life to its fullest and not allowing for the whims or the shiny, glittery objects to be our focus and what we're driving for. So are we prepared to die? The answer should be yes every day. Before we started talking, Laura and I were talking off air, and we were talking about relationships and how much relationships you need to die to yourself over.
Yep.
Right? If you're getting married, you have to die to yourself. Your spouse has to die to their self. When you have children, you have to die to yourself in order to serve and to not have things stand between us and what we need to do. So are we prepared to die? We have to ask that every day. One of the things I wrote down while you guys were talking was, you know, you have sober thoughts. Well, what's the counter to sober thoughts? And I put down influenced thoughts. Okay. Sober thoughts, you know, if we think of sobriety, we think typically when it comes to alcohol and drugs, right? If somebody's under the influence of a substance, they're not sober. So having sober thoughts versus influenced thoughts, we need to figure out what are the things that are influencing my thoughts? What are the things that are taking control and preventing me from having the sober thoughts? So what is influencing us? We see every day social media. We see every day the news. We join clubs. We have hobbies. We go to work. All these things are influencing us. They're influencing our thoughts. And so in order to have sober thoughts, they need to be aligned somewhere else. They need to be aligned with God's word. And if we are aligned in God's word, then the sober thoughts will counter the things that are trying to influence us and try to take us and steer us away from God. So I thought we would, you know, throw that in there. I could throw that in there for us to think about that a little bit more clear.
Yeah. That's good. That's good, Joseph. That's very good. I wish I could follow up with something profound, but I have a silly antidote. Dad jokes, the younger folks call it. So, you know, I've went to school with a lot of Australians, and I've even served, honestly, a lot of people from Australia through another referral platform. And I love the Aussies, man. They're so energetic and they're so positive and so can do. And just I love their accent, man. I just love everything about them. I can't afford to go over there because it cost me about $44,000 or something. But anyway, I wish I could. But if I went, I would want to spend a couple months, you know, because I'd be worn out. It'd take you 2 days to get over the trip. But anyway, there was an old story from World War II, and the Aussies and the Americans were facing their opponent in the foxholes. And so the Aussie soldier always stick his head up, and the Americans say, "Hey, mate," because the Aussies say today when they were talking about today. And so the American, this Aussie soldier kept sticking his head up, and the American said, "Hey, mate, did you get here? Are you trying, or did you get here to die? Are you trying to die?" He said, "No, mate, I got here yesterday." And I haven't told that joke in 20 something years, so I didn't give it as well as I used to, but you get the point.
Yeah.
"No, mate, I came here yesterday."
That is, you got that accent down really good too.
I remember the first time, I know this is very off topic, but I went to school in Texas and there were a lot of Australians there. And I had a guy from Charlotte, North Carolina with me, and I was introducing him to this Chris. And I never heard an Australian speak. So it floored me. I was so impressed. And I was saying, "Hey, Chris, this is Dave. He's from my area." And he said, "Dave, I have a brother named Dave." So that didn't have anything to do with what we're talking about, but well, I thought I'd throw it in.
For being a country boy, we are very impressed with your Australian accent. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something that you were saying, Joseph, that I pray that every listener can resonate with is, you know, can we say that we're ready to die? And I want the listener to know on behalf of Kevin, Joseph, and I is the three of us can say that we're ready, but it isn't because we think that we're perfect. It isn't that we think that, you know, we have done everything so good and, you know, we've dotted every I and crossed every T so good that God must be pleased with us. And, you know, therefore, you know, by our, you know, our halo, we're ready to go. No, we just want to remind you that we have put our confidence in our substitute, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. And because we have trusted our substitute, our Savior, we know that he perfectly pleased and pleases God, and that has been imputed to us, right? And so that is something, listener, that you, if you are born again, you can take confidence in too. But we would want you to look at those other areas like the relationship and, you know, the finances and, you know, the other things that that the Lord would bring to mind. That's one thing we want to say. I think that, you know, in closing, each of us will want to leave something for you, the listener, to be sobered by, or a thought to be sobered by. And I would ask you, the listener, to read the book of Hosea. Normally, I would say Isaiah. I think it's such a beautiful book. You hear the heart of God, in my opinion. I would say the suffering and the agonized heart of God. But Hosea is a great book. If you want to hear the heart of God, how he longs, you know, for his people. And the reason I'm recommending the book of Hosea is because we're talking about Are you being seduced away from intimacy with God? And, you know, I was reflecting this morning, gentlemen, you know, the different names of God, right? There's Elohim and there's Yahweh and there's El Elyon. And, you know, the Lord has so many wonderful names and God has become so generic. And yeah. So I just put that out there, listener, that, you know, Elohim who created, right? If you are being seduced away by false religion and false shepherds, you're missing the greatest purpose for being alive, which is to have intimacy with Elohim, okay, God Almighty. And I'm saying go to the book of Hosea to remember the heart of this one who created you and how he longs for the fellowship with his people. So that would be my takeaway. Kevin, I'd love to hear your takeaway next because Joseph always is so good about closing us out.
Well, I second your thoughts, Laura. I would say let's get back to God too, because everything, well, notwithstanding your different names, El Shaddai and all the rest of them, for God, I'm using God as a generic, but not in the sense of being generic, because it's a very specific way, but we have to live our relationship with God. But just mentioning God as far as his name, to get back to his word, all of us have certain needs, and a lot of us are completely empty. We are completely lonely. We don't know where to start. We don't know how to fill up this hole in our hearts and this longing in our souls. God has put eternity in our hearts, according to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. That eternity always longs. And if we're not close to God and we're not in intimate relationship with him, that eternity in our hearts will kick our butts, okay? Because it's supposed to drive us back to the one that can solve those problems and that loneliness and that stuff inside. We call it mental health because we're smarty pants and we think we know everything, but we don't. It's God that provides all the answers. It's Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that provides the answers. And the way we can learn about them is through God's word. So I want to encourage everybody to seek that intimacy and that peace and that restfulness through the word of God.
Amen. I want to encourage everyone, you know, what's influencing you, right? We need sober thoughts, but we also have influenced thoughts. We need to identify them and say, are these good? And if they're not good, then we need to find a replacement for them. Going to God's word is always good. So if we have God's word in us, the influences from outside are silenced. They get drowned out. And so if we don't have God's word in us, then everything else is filling up that space, and we can see it because we have clients every single day that we talk to that are struggling. We see people out there that are struggling. You have friends and family that are struggling, and you know that they're not in God's word. So I want to close my part out here with a reading of Psalms 37 and the first nine verses. But I want you guys, if you are struggling, to reach out to us. We're here to help. Put yourself in a Bible-believing church. Find a place where you can walk side by side with other people, that you're being not just fed here and there, but you're being fed weekly, but you also have to do the feeding yourself. You have to feed God's word into your life daily. So find a Bible-believing church, and if you need help, you can reach out to us. But this is what Psalms 37 from David says. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong, for like grass they will soon wither. Like green plants they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.